It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
From here in Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, we're going to do uninterrupted commercial-free talking about getting acquainted with and getting ready for April 22nd, the launch of MadeSafe, MAIDSAFE.net, MadeSafe.net, MadeSafe. Okay, we got David Irvine on, and I got to finally meet him press flesh, and I was, I sent out all of the information, technical white papers and everything. It's not like, the freedom libertarian voluntarist movement has a shortage of Uber computer geeks, know what I mean? So I said, hey, you guys, take a look at this. Is this what I think it is? This is what I've been waiting for my whole adult life, and how the internet was to truly be used as a force for good, and not to have the, bad guys be able to mess with our ability to communicate with each other freely and secretly. And what happens then? I don't know. In the end, freedom always wins. It just gets really messy first. We're going to try to avoid the mess. Now, here in America, there's a lot of things going on. This southwestern, battle over land and use of and kind of, and it's a perfect example of when you need it the most to be able to communicate video, audio, real time, upload. This is what's going on right, not later. And then the man does not like that one lady bitty little bit. Now, the news is that they backed off. The government has stood down. Then we have people there that are communicating with us that, no, they're not. They're just, they're just lifting the hammer, getting ready to pound it back on your head again. Communication is the most important thing to keep the bad guys at bay. As we've seen around the world, when you need it the most to send that Twitter, when you need it the most to send that fax, like Tiananmen Square, they're using faxes, when it is the most important to share with what's really going on the street, boom, that's when it gets shut down. What if we had the capability for it not to be shut down? They would even see where there's something to shut down. Now, we just had a news break also. We got this morning, you put on top of Freedom's Phoenix right now. This is April, whatever it is. What is today's date anyway, Donna? Today's the 14th, April. Now, what happens this afternoon in Eastern Time, 4:38, I think, this afternoon, SpaceX is launching another resupply mission to the International Space Station. But what a lot of people don't know is part of that mission is 5 more CubeSats that's going out that can be part of this outer net thing that you get made safe along with an entirely off the grid separate. Well, and maybe CubeSat may be it or not, but it definitely demonstrates the capacity of having an outer net. Get off of the man, the DARPA, the DOD, Department of Defense, United States, America, Internet. What happens when you're totally off and encrypted and distributed? Wow, things are coming. In addition to that, what they don't tell you is that the first stage of Falcon 9 is going to come back and land on legs. They didn't tell you this part. It's going to be a little bitty secret that's going out there, and they'll do it over water because they're kind of freaked out. They don't want to be, blowing up over some cities or something. But the first stage, reusable 9 rocket engines get saved. Ooh, let me tell you what that means. That brings the cost of deploying communication satellites down to itty bitty, little bitty baby dollar amount. Even regional cell coverage carriers can go, we can afford to put some satellites up there and make us some money. But for what? If you don't have something like MadeSafe there to do it, it doesn't do you any good to be, you know, off the man's grid if it's they can just get the signal and be able to decipher and find out what everybody's communicating about anyway, or turn it off. All of these things come together as today, right now, we're taping this and following what's going to happen on April 22nd, where we as individuals get to participate in the ability for us, any human mind across the planet, can communicate in confidence with any other human mind on the planet. Oh, and trade value. Now, there's a new coin that's on top, built on top of the blockchain here that David's going to tell us about. This is very important to me in my entire life, waiting for this, and it all comes together in one day. Spaceship going up, comes back and lands, and gets reused. It's cheap, and they're putting satellites out in outer space to be able to communicate on using MadeSafe software. And I'm like, oh, tell me today ain't special. Yep, it is. David, I got you there.
Yeah, I'm here, Ernest.
You know, you can start to see why this is important to me, right? I mean, I'm feeling. Are you feeling it?
absolutely. I didn't know about the CubeSats actually in Falcon 9, so that's a great piece of news. Fantastic.
Yeah, this, you know, they launched from the International Space Station before, kind of showed you. I'm like, yeah, well, I'm not feeling all warm and fuzzy about that. You know, more space station government stuff. But when I got SpaceX doing it, even before they get to the International Space Station, the way the mission goes, they go up in just a few minutes into orbit. They boom, when they reach orbit, they're launching CubeSats. And, oh, by the way, we're going to go over that space station thing. Oh, and we're going to go land the first stage. Oh, and it's going to be really cheap to provide the infrastructure that you need to get totally off the grid with MadeSafe. I am like, see, I put all this stuff together, and I got the press release that he just sent out this morning, you know, from SpaceX, that they're, you know, ready. They're starting a countdown. So a few hours after we get this up, it's already going to have happened. And tomorrow we're going to talk about it live on the air a little bit, one of the reporters that's there. So I'm going, you know, and I'm trying to convince him, and I've been kind of seeding him with this MadeSafe thing. I'm going, yeah, do you know what is going to happen after they do this? Here comes David Irvine and friends. And I met your partner there, too. What, could you introduce the audience to your partner that went to New York Bitcoin with you?
Yeah, that was Nick Lambert. He's the COO of the company. So Nick really, he arranges all my appointments and does loads and loads of work for the business. And he's responsible a lot for the safecoin.io website. So Nick's a great guy to have working with you in a business. He really takes care of everything that you don't even see.
So, yeah, no, he seemed like he was having a good time, too. Let's talk about that. I went to the New York Bitcoin Conference solely to meet you. Okay, I had some friends there and see what's up and see how they're, and yeah, and whatever. But I went only based on the recommendation of the people that looked at the MadeSafe effort that you had there and your technical white papers and so on. They said, yeah, I think this is what you're talking about. And I'm going, oh, yeah, baby, I've been screaming this for years. So I'm going, when it does this, 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 and this, I'm all over it. There you are out of Scotland. And how we came together, Rafael Rodriguez from Texas Bitcoin Conference came to a Freedom Summit here that we did in mid-February and had met you at a Bitcoin event in Berlin. I mean, this is the world getting small or what? So he said, you need to talk, for what you're talking about, there's these guys that told me about this kind of sort of almost thing that seemed kind of what you're talking about, and this is who they are, had you on, boom, from freaking Scotland out of Berlin when me going to Texas. I mean, the world has changed. So now, let's start right off. Go ahead, on April 22nd, describe what it is that you're going to be launching and how can we participate?
Okay, on April 22nd, this is the date everyone takes part in the whole Project Safe, which is what MadeSafe's really handing over to the world. It's a very simple process. All that anyone has to do is go to safecoin.io, which is a website. If you go to that right now, you'll see a countdown timer, 7 days and 17 hours to go, apparently. And at that point, you can buy this intermediary coin called MadeSafe Coin. There's a Buy MadeSafe Coin button right on the website. You click that, and that goes to a site to actually purchase the MadeSafe Coin. This site's been run for us by the Master Protocol guys, who are incredible to work with. They're really, really good guys to work with. I must say, David Johnson and Craig Sellers have been phenomenal. So once you go to this site, you basically just send Bitcoin or MasterCoin, but mostly Bitcoin, I would imagine, that people will have. Send it to the Exodus address that will be posted on that site. From that point, all that you do after that is get your MasterCoin wallet and your MadeSafe coin will be there. And you'll see it from day one, I think, actually being traded.
So I'm getting, if I buy a MadeSafe coin, I'm getting 17,000 MadeSafe coins per Bitcoin. And that's going to be locked in at whatever, doesn't matter what Bitcoin's worth, it's going to be worth 17,000 MadeSafe coins.
Yeah.
Now, I got on here, it says 8 days and 1 hour, so I guess there's a time difference thing. You know, Scottish people get it first?
It shouldn't be. There's maybe something wrong with that timer, but we shouldn't be getting it first. Everyone should get it at the same time.
Okay, so it's a time. Yeah, well, go tell them, here in Phoenix, I'm looking at 8 days, man, and 1 hour, so I'm at a disadvantage. Okay, so go ahead, and the first thing that I'm doing is I go, when this launches on April 22nd, and I'm hopefully got an internet connection in Central America with my smartphone, and I go in there and I go, gimme, I'm going to click on, you're going to have available there for purchase, and it opens an account. Is that what we're doing on April 22nd to fund the effort?
Yeah, basically, this opens an account, and then everyone, so 10% of all SafeCoin that will ever be mined over time, which we call farming, will actually be sold to these people in this crowd sale. Apparently, it's quite important to call it a crowd sale. And the great thing, I think, with it, I mean, all of us in the company are, we're all buying SafeCoins. Actually, I'm in the house just now with a bunch of people through in the living room who I'm buying Bitcoin for so that they can do this. So it's raised a lot of interest, but I think it's actually very interesting what we're doing with these funds, which ties in with the business model. MadeSafe has got a very, very strange business model. From the start, I mean, I gave half the company to a foundation and whatnot. So what actually happens with these funds is part of them will run the MadeSafe core team for at least 3 years until they can make their own money and continue to innovate. Part of the funds will seed the network, so we'll put up some farming nodes. But a large part of the funds will actually be used to create at least 6 international development pods, and these development pods will compete with me. So we're actually building competitors for us, working in the core code. There's plenty of things for us to do, add new parts into the system. There's things that I've spoke about before, federated news and whatnot. So we'll continue to innovate on top of this network.
Okay, now let's go ahead and talk about this, because this is something that I think people don't really understand. Is by creating this infrastructure and doing what you're doing, you also have a reward system that includes SafeCoins. So there's an incentive not just to be able to have access to the features of MadeSafe, being encrypted, being distributed, being, you know, outside the NSA, you know, all-seeing eyeball over your shoulder. And but the other benefit is that there's a financial incentive, you know, for participating in it. But that only works if you get wide adoption. And part of that is the, like you're saying, the competition that you would have. What you go, no, everybody needs to build on this. We need a bunch of people doing it. Kind of what happened with Bitcoin. It was amazing to me how quickly so many services and features were built around Bitcoin. You need that kind of thing to happen, what you're doing. So you're making it easy for them to do it. You went through the patented process to make sure that their stuff's protected and somebody can't claim things, blah, 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 blah. But my thing is this, I can see kind of what's going on. Instead of it being like a code that's just put out there like Bitcoin was and say, you know, I peace out and let us know how it works out, you're having more infrastructure that you control in some way, a founded kind of like Mozilla or something. You're creating an organization to help direct this. Tell me about that. You know, this, what role are you playing? And at some point, will you not have a role? And what is the role of MadeSafe and David Irvine and friends?
Well, at the moment, MadeSafe are critical. MadeSafe, the company, is critical to this process because we are the people who know the codes. I'm probably quite critical to the process because I'm a designer and whatnot. And what we are doing just now is running as quickly as possible to become useless to the project. So we really want to be very, very quickly in a position where people couldn't care less if we're involved or not, because the whole thing is running itself. And it's kind of like the whole Project Safe is a network of the people, by the people, for the people. The development process has to be the same. So this is why we're creating, actually, not MadeSafe international development pods, independent international development. We'll just give money to people and say, start doing this work in the core. Once you do the work in the core, the system will pay you through SafeCoin, but we'll set you up. We'll actually set you up first. So if you look at MadeSafe from the start, it's taken us 8 years to build this. We're giving it away. And as well as giving it away, we're also going to create competitors for us in the core code. And that's vital for this system to be widely adopted and widely used and widely understood, and not just by any core team. So at the moment, MadeSafe is almost like a centralized structure within this completely decentralized system. So part of this funding will decentralize everything, including the intelligence, the brains working on the system, and that can't come quick enough. So we're looking at San Francisco, Austin, India as the first three places to start. This has to be worldwide, so the rest of the locations will be probably in the likes of China, Africa, and Europe.
Locations of what? Of the nodes that would be, you know, main places to store the data? Or are you talking about, what are you talking about, these nodes?
These locations will actually be development companies. So we'll set up development companies or development groups worldwide that all work on the core. So it's kind of like the Bitcoin core team. You know, you hear people talking about the Bitcoin core team, except there's going to be 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 Project Safe core teams. And they'll all compete with each other. They'll all debate. They'll all argue. But none of them will really matter, including us. So that means that we've got longevity in the code, and we've got a broad reach of people looking at the code. So really, it's decentralizing the code base.
Well, how has the code base changed? Is it altered? Is there a mechanism by which you can improve and innovate on the foundational part of MadeSafe, or is it done and when you release it, it's that you get what you get?
No, it'll always change. One of the things that we are looking at very early is get mesh networking in there. The satellite thing is an almost parallel approach. And huge shout out to the Outernet guys. I mean, really, really want to get in touch with those guys. That all of those kind of innovations will end up in the MadeSafe core code. So that MadeSafe core code will continue to improve over the years. It will never stop improving. The applications on top of it are completely different. Those are different developers, including us. We'll all develop applications on top, but the core code has to continue to improve. It should be extremely good just now. We've spent a long time making sure of it.
Well, let's talk about mesh networking. I remember during the Occupy here, there was a lot of efforts to make sure that they could stay up, you know, and they created their own hotspots at the different events around the country. And, you know, and you have the Tea Party guys, they're doing the same kind of thing. Matter of fact, we have a show in a couple of weeks with ham radio operators that are now able to communicate text and email using radio sets. And they just plug in an interface with their laptop, and they're typing, and boom, they, you know, pack it, they send it out over the radio waves, and the man can't do anything about it. So I'm going, these kinds of things are already starting to pop up. When they, here in America, when they went to digital and the analog, they no longer, I guess the FCC didn't, the Federal Communication Commission deregulated the UHF. Now, here in America, our TVs go from like channel 1 to 13, I think, and then it has what they call UHF. You go to UHF and you're dialing in the high numbers, channel 45, you know, 39, that kind of thing. And what happened is UHF has the capacity to go like a 60-mile radius. So you put that plopped in the middle of Phoenix, all of a sudden you got the entire city is broadband on UHF with internet access. Then you mesh that with Tucson and Prescott and Flack. All of a sudden you got an entire state that's got a mesh network using UHF without having to have DARPA's, DOD's, the manned military-industrial complex internet. So I'm going, oh, okay, so there's one opportunity. So this, and then you can do microwave, and you can do, I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. MadeSafe is able to interface with any and all of that, right?
Yeah, and that's where a lot of the core work will be, is integrating a lot of... The mesh networking's very... It's quite an unusual system. At the moment, mesh networking and Tor, I look at them, they're kind of doing some... Mesh networking allows people to communicate together. Like Open Garden do a great job of messaging. What's really missing is this ability to log into this mesh network, get your data, share things, and be fully encrypted the whole way. That's what MadeSafe provides. And it's sort of Tor does a bunch of encryption and hiding you, but it eventually leads you to a server. And this is what we are saying. No, that's not right. Everything has to be contained within that network. So the mesh network that you're talking in, say, Tucson, if it's running MadeSafe software, the people all have access to all websites, all data, all applications without ever going off that mesh network. And that then becomes really, really motivating for people. However, if the satellite network works as we think it should, it probably will remove the requirement for mesh because we may all be connected all of the time. Anyway, and that would be probably an even better situation for us to be in.
Oh, I'm for everything. I want radio, ham, radio operating, text message, faxing, you know, meshing, satellite, and every man made safe. You know, we can have all kinds of battlefields. I mean, you know, I'm good. I like it. Now, this is one thing that I wanted to share with the audience. When I went to New York, I saw you down there, and I'm like, oh, dang it, I got to go to the bathroom first. I go, and I couldn't find you. I came back, and oh, they're gone. So I'm looking around, sitting, all of a sudden, I see you in the food court up there being interviewed by a young woman from Forbes magazine. And I'm going, Forbes is there talking. So I just kind of set off to the side, and, you know, I wasn't in earshot range, but I just, you know, wait for you guys to get done. And then it was obvious to me that she took this seriously. And, of course, you know, we got to say, yo, what's up? And I got to express myself and how important I thought this was. She wrote the article. And what my audience knows is that my brother-in-law is a bond rater at Moody's in New York City, in Manhattan there. And he is, and his wife now works for a large, magazine that you guys probably would know. But one time she was an editor for Newsweek. And so this is me trying to explain to them how important this was and how this is a milestone in human history of what's going to happen and change. Pay attention. They first had to understand Bitcoin. They had to understand the concept of a, you know, decentralized, distributed, unregulatable kind of, you know, mindset of what could happen. In that article, you were quoted as saying, I think it was that article, you were saying, it was good that you started this, even the cryptocurrency, before Bitcoin really got launched, and you understood it, but you needed Bitcoin as a kind of a stepping stone for people to understand or believe that you were capable of doing what you're doing. It's somehow Bitcoin prepped everybody for what you wanted to do. So go ahead and explain that, you know, to the audience, how that aided, whether you use it or not, or on part, or and what the relationship is with Bitcoin, but how that helped you to launch coming up April 22nd.
Yeah, basically, what we are doing, decentralizing everything, is a very hard concept to get across to people because we are trained completely to think server, server, server. And someone must look after my data. It can't be me. I'm not good enough. When we were explaining the whole decentralize everything, decentralize every internet service, everything to do with data, everything to do with communications, people looked at us as though we were inventing a flying car that could take you to Mars and back in an afternoon. It was just complete disbelief, utter disbelief. And then folk were saying, well, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to decentralize things? So, as I say, you're correct. We had cryptocurrency in 2006, so it was a few years before Bitcoin. But interestingly, Bitcoin has come out and showed people exactly how valuable decentralization is. And I would kind of debate, Bitcoin's not completely decentralized, but what it has done is decentralized the financial institutions. It said, and showed very clearly, look, if you get rid of all this rubbish, these people that live off money and live off numbers and live off lies and live off all the rest of it, you can actually trade value for value 100%. 100% of your labor can be paid 100% by someone requesting your labor. That is what's excited and invigorated the community. That community has now had the ability over the last 5 years to grow, and it's grown now where it's, we all have heard of Bitcoin, it's in the news the whole time. So it's becoming a household word, not quite yet, but it's becoming, and people are starting to understand this is a much better way. Why would we have people doing something that a computer can do in a billionth of a second? Why would we have a human doing that and take a month and rob me of some of my own money? So Bitcoin was really, really interesting in that it broke the water for us, if you like, that people started saying, this decentralization thing's quite good. And then a few weeks ago, or 2 months ago, and you were one of the first guys, Ernest, to pick this up, which is something that we are always going to be grateful for, we started speaking to the world at large. And people got it immediately. They said, you're doing for the internet really the same as Bitcoin's doing for financial. And we're saying, yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. And all of a sudden people thought, okay, I believe you can do it. How? And all that was left for us was to explain very small parts of how we're able to do this. And it's been an amazing, absolutely amazing response. I mean, we opened up our developer mailing list just a few weeks ago, and there's 200 people, there's 197 developers on there working with us, talking. We do everything in the open in MadeSafe. We have staff meetings and we put them in YouTube. People are really invigorated by this, and all the things that's happened with Snowden and whatnot recently have proven to people that your data is yours. It's actually part of your own mind. It's part of your own intelligence. And this is a vital, vital thing for society. And it's not just vital that we protect our own data and we've got privacy and security and freedom. It's vital that we give that to the other few billion people that don't have internet access. They don't have the ability to go on this internet. All of the people throughout the world should have full access to all of the data and be able to put information into that system for the rest of us to learn from. So it's really been quite an amazing... you see yourself in New York when we started speaking about it. It's the reaction from people is, this is amazing, it's huge, it's quite unbelievable, but you know what? We really, really need this. We need this as society.
You know, more than that, it was important to me for them to understand from, and for you to see the enthusiasm that I had and people like me. Because I understand it's not about, well, if you have private data and everything, then they'll do bioterrorism and, you know, slavery and you know, getting drugs and hookers and whatever and so on. And I'm going, you know, it's about freedom. It's about liberty. I want the liberty and the anonymity, the ability to donate, to send money to liberty-oriented projects without repercussions from the government. This is what my primary focus on this was, is that sending resources, communicating interest, you know, like what's going on here in the southwestern United States is, you know, potentially a powder keg of whatever. And I... You know, there's so many instances like this. It's happening around the world. And the thing that the government, you know, those that think that they can rule you better, you know, than you can rule yourself, they do not want you to have the influence with your money, with your time, with your information, with the sharing of information, if it attacks those that won't leave us alone. Because there are those that just want to be left alone. And there are those that just won't leave us alone. MadeSafe provides the infrastructure for us to just be left alone. If there is a crime, you know, it's up to us to be able to go, hey, That guy's doing a crime over there. Go get him. Well, when they, those are doing big, giant crimes, I give you governments, wars, banks, whatever. Oh, no, the system's there to protect them, okay? So I'm going, no. So this provides an opportunity for people like whistleblowers. I mean, look at the attack that WikiLeaks got on it by, you know, exposing some stuff. You know, Snowden, the same thing. The state, the government, those that believe they rule us are very afraid of this. This is my concern. I go to New York Bitcoin Conference, and I could see you're in the heart of New York City, and you have Wall Street there, you have government interests, there were lobbyists there were lawyers, there were aides to, you know, congressmen, all this stuff there, and I'm going, yeah, I seen this before. I think they called it DEF CON or something like that, you know, hacker gatherings they have in Las Vegas, and here. And where does the FBI and the government get all their guys to tell them what's what? They go to these young kids. I seen some of them there. They'll go, oh, yeah, well, we're going to go and we'll explain it to the man. We'll explain it to the banks. We'll explain it to the FBI. We'll explain it to the Department of Homeland, whatever. We'll explain it to them and kind of make it to where we're not to be afeard and kind of don't worry about it. And I'm going, no. They're recruiting. You know, they're checking, they're infiltrating, they're worried. And I'm looking at, for your participation there, the most enthusiastic, the first in the front row seat and the last to leave of the meetings and everything, a lot of times is someone that's the most feared or fearful, and they're reporting to someone. So I need to ask you, as you have this infrastructure, you're starting to create that, how insulated are you from these types of people that want influence in what you're doing, that want to know what's happening, that want to participate, that are concerned about your success? You know, is there a concern for that, and how are you thwarting it?
The concern is actually quite minimal now. The amount of people that know the code is growing on a daily basis. The code's there. The crowd sale thing's going ahead in just a couple of weeks. The whole thing will be out. And it's not really stoppable. There's an interesting thing about the network, actually. When we launch it, even we can't stop it. And it's one of the things that decentralized networking can do that you can't do with a system today. When we put a network update out, what each computer does, it basically creates a sacrificial farmer and checks that farmer's doing as good as the real farmer that's running. It has to do as good or better, or the network actually refuses the update. So we can't even update this thing to kill it. So once the network's out, there's nothing stopping it. And it's one of the points I was making at the show is, it's an interesting thing about mankind and evolution. The more that people push back against an evolving technology, the stronger it gets. And really, there's no way, even shooting me is going to do no use to the system. The system's going to happen anyway. There's too many people bought into this now. There's too many engineers know about it. And really, I think any challenge, any serious challenge, would probably give us even more media coverage.
Yes. Yes.
but we're never, you know, it's that Scottish thing, we're never afraid of a fight either. And if it's the right thing, it's the right thing. And if that means being at risk, then we'll be at risk. But it's happening anyway. It's not going to be stopped.
You know, you represent something I always talk. That's why we use the opening to the show as Morpheus in The Matrix, the second one, I think. And the point that we did is there always is a Neo. You know, throughout time and history, there's always that one of a billion guys that's, you know, at least product of his times. You know, it's the right time, the right person, the right, you know, and boom, here it goes. And I'm really glad to have been a part of this. And it's just by, you know, serendipity, you know, circumstance that you happen to talk to the right guy that happened to talk to the right guy that, you know, pointed me to the right guy. But this always happens throughout history. Always happens. And the reason is because it's desired, it's needed, it's wanted, it's a free market thing. What you are providing is not only desired, it is needed by anyone or a society that has any a desire to be free, to be just left alone, to be able to do what you're offering. And I don't think a lot of the big bad guys really understand the power of this. I do. And I want to do everything I can to help. And the thing is that when you went to the New York Bitcoin Conference, you were not initially part of the program. You got added to the program. You were not part of any of the material that I saw that mentioned you. I knew you were going to be there. But upon arriving, all of a sudden, you're rock stars, man. How did that happen?
I think there's a lot of people now know about us from a kind of underground basis. And you know, it's quite amazing. There's people now speaking to me that said, look, we've been following this for 4 years. We've been following it for 3 years. So I think there's a lot more people in the know about it. And that's pretty exciting. But it's also, I think there's another thing to add to what we're saying about this is going to happen anyway. If you remember, I remember a story about baboons and they started washing and cooking potatoes in a hot spring in an island somewhere in the Pacific. And they found out that other baboons in other islands at the same time started doing the same thing. And it's very similar to this. This is evolution. And okay, I've maybe done this and the team and made safe for doing this. If anybody tried to stop us, there's going to be another baboon somewhere doing MadeSafe.
100th you know, monkey, that, man.
That's going to happen.
It's just part of the quantum. Humans are not that stupid.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, so there's some really, I think there's some brave moves forward for us. I think SafeCoin itself is a brave move because that's a cryptocurrency that's not auditable.
Yeah, let's talk about SafeCoin a little bit. It's kind of built as part of the Bitcoin blockchain, I remember somebody saying, right?
Yeah, we're actually off blockchain completely. So this is a fully decentralized economic system. So the way that the SafeCoin's mined is actually pretty impressive because people put a computer on and for looking after the world's data, that actually mines SafeCoin, so we call it farming rather than mining's a bit wasteful. Farming's a thing that you're protecting something of value. But the farmers, people putting the computer on will actually receive SafeCoin for doing that. The interesting part for me is builders, which are application developers, including open source folks, people like the core Bitcoin developers, the OpenSSL guys, OpenSSH guys, they put the software on the MadeSafe network, put their wallet address in, it becomes immutable, and they get paid. So we actually pay these open source guys, and see, once we start paying the open source guys, that community is going to flourish. That's going to become super powerful, because look at what it did with nothing.
Yeah, see, that's one thing that I didn't even think of it. You know, where before they were saying, well, what's the value of a Bitcoin? Well, I'm going, it's kind of... The intrinsic value to me is it's worth whatever gold and silver I'm willing to give up for its features. I mean, you know, I'm going, okay, it has value to me and its applications and its use and its features and such. But SafeCoin, it actually has value behind all the data that it's storing and making it accessible. So its data is its value. I mean, it's like the internet is its value. Knowledge is its value.
Yeah, absolutely. The knowledge of mankind is the value that underpins the whole SafeCoin system. And that's something that people confuse because they think that you have to pay SafeCoins to get part of the network. It's actually the opposite way around. The network just gives you SafeCoins for being on it. And that's fantastic because people will download applications, they'll download software, they'll download Dropbox without Condoleezza Rice being involved.
Yeah, really. I'm going, everything is working to your advantage. I mean, all of the news, all of the stuff, all of the infiltration, all of the co-opting, all of the taking over, all of that is just a neon flashing light with an arrow pointing to MadeSafe. Go, there's a solution over there. And a little satellite thing wouldn't hurt. So I'm just going, This is your time. Did you realize when you started doing this that someday this day would come? Did you just hope it would, or it was going to come no matter what? You know, you're painting your face half blue and here you go, you know, or is it you're kind of surprised that, hey, finally it's here? How confident were you that this was going to come?
I think this was always here, Ernest. I think it was underground. I think in the last few years, there's been a lot of companies got a lot of our data, and it's made spying much simpler. But it's always been here. That the control of people on the internet has always existed, and that's why I started this. And it's only going to get worse. We think at the moment it's bad. Our kids or whatever, they're going to have a dreadful time if we keep going the way we do. So I would say we would be finished if we kept going the way we're going. We would be turned into robots or whatever. So this is something that was very important to me. And also the injustice of life and humanity was very important to me because, you know, as I said, like, for instance, SafeCoin's a cash transaction. It's like cash Bitcoin. There's no auditing. Nobody can tell who spent what, where, what, and for what reason. And, you know, people talk about it, say, oh, you know, you have to regulate this and you have to do whatever. And I look and think, hold on, we used to work in cash. Everything was fine. There was small elements of crime about and, you know, that was okay. Then we regulated stuff. We centralised money into these big financial institutions. We put in regulators to try and protect them. And they have been responsible for countless deaths in the world.
Yeah.
There's people starving to death. There's people lost their jobs. There's people committing suicide because they're depressed to have lost all their savings, or their, you know, there's folk that's retired and their retirement's gone. The system is completely corrupt. So what we're really doing is we're pressing this reset button just now. Project Safe is a reset for a large part of society, and it can't come quick enough. So this is kind of what's been driving me. I want to stop people being killed. It's like Rwanda's happening right now, and we can stop it. You know, the UN did nothing in Rwanda, and it's a complete injustice.
And they forbid individuals from doing stuff. See, that's like, you know, why we're supportive of Bitcoin, not bombs. That whole concept, the fact that you're using, you know, and I remember Cody Wilson made the comment one time that really had an impact. He goes, you know, holding Federal Reserve notes is sooner or later is going to be a political decision. I mean, you are making a political decision by using the empire's money. And when you finally start wanting to break free and you go to SafeCoin, this is the question that I have and how I came to know you guys. I would go to all these developers. I go to the different Bitcoin conferences. I talk to the hackers. I get all the young innovators in technology and so on. I'm just screaming, Bitcoin is not anonymous. I need to it's very convenient. It's very easy. It's there. But if I am a gazillionaire with a lot of money that I want to put towards freedom oriented activities, and I use, if it shows up on my phone and the man's on my shoulder watching, they're seeing. That's just the way it is. You know, get over it. Oh, it's not. It's not anonymous like you think it is. They may not care, and it may be too difficult, and it may be. But if they want you, and you're changing the world with a little bit of money here and there, and those of you that are listening to this for the first time, the reason I'm so sensitive to this, I'm the one that created the Ron Paul Lovolution logo, the revolution. What happened was there was millions, tens of millions. I wouldn't be shocked if it was hundreds of millions of dollars that went through the support of the voluntarist, leave-me-alonist, libertarian philosophy represented by Dr. Ron Paul, the Congress ran for president in 08 and 12. The problem is that it was just totally outside the purview of the man. It was First Amendment expression. I can do whatever the heck I want with my money, and I don't coordinate through a campaign. It's a freedom thing. Hell, I don't even vote. Okay? That was not the point. The point is that it changed the world. And the man does not like the world getting changed unless it changes the way they want it to. So if you're going to be having this kind of impact, and we have a lot of these young people that understand this technology that are coming in with resources, with tens, if not hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars they make from a little app, and they say, you know what? Freedom's better than not. Freedom good, government bad, 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 bad. So they go, all right, well, I'm going to put my money over here. Well, there are people that say, oh, no, 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 you don't. And there are repercussions from empires. You in an ocean of lies, you know, telling the truth is like get you in trouble. Okay, so I'm going, and we see it with whistleblowers. We see it with money spent on things like this that will free the individual. So I am looking, and I build this up for this question. If I use SafeCoin with the MadeSafe.net network, for lack of a better term, if I go ahead and I do this, and I'm starting, I'm doing a QR code, and I'm sending money that can be converted later, and I get, is it anonymous? Am I able to transfer SafeCoin and then not know who sent it or who received it or that it was even there? How anonymous am I in the transfer of wealth?
Fully. Fully anonymous. This is cash. So I think the way to think about it is Bitcoin's a transaction-based system, which is useful for some situations, but not all situations. And Safecoin is cash. Safecoin is going back a few years and saying, here's cash, but remember cash, it was quite hard, it was dirty in your pocket, you had to walk about and pay your rent and pay your bills and hand this stuff over. Here's a version of cash now that's completely electronic, completely anonymous, and the only people that know a transaction's happened is the sender and receiver. That's it. And that's all that we'll ever know that that transaction happened. Because that's what money is for. The money, I see money as oil in an engine in a car. It should flow around nice and easily and be used to lubricate all the parts of the car. There's no point in having centralized money like huge banking institutions and a third of the wealth of the population being offshore and tax havens. That's like taking some of the oil out of the car. The engine overheats, things go wrong. That's what's happened to us so far in society. So Safecoin puts money back in the hands of the people. So the person wanting a service pays the person giving them a service. All the stuff in between about people making up numbers, and I wrote a blog post about this recently, you know, that we've got financial institutions that do make up numbers. They're funding all sorts of terrorist organizations, are starting to get fined for it now. That's what regulation does. You start giving humans some laws and some rules and they'll bend them and greed takes over. Safecoin really is meant to go right through the heart of that and stop it, because people living off number manipulations, even the Libra rate, people lived off lies and made huge amounts of money off lies while the car was overheating, an engine was burning out. So simplifying everything back to basically Adam Smith's, the capitalist view, if you like, was any person should be able to sell their labour to any other person at the price that the market will let them. There's nobody in the middle there.
Freedom's the answer. What's the freaking question? Okay, this is the one thing that, you know, we'll get to the New York Bitcoin Conference, and the one thing that I realized as I've been covering this, heck, I think my first Bitcoins were, they were 80-something cents. I mean, you know, I got a Cassatius coin for $4 and something now worth an ounce of gold. I mean, you know, so I had just a numismatic value. So I'm just going, you know, this is, I've seen this grow, but the reason it did is because of just getting off the man's system, but it's not really as anonymous as the Safecoin will be. So I asked this question.
Yeah.
When we were in the New York Bitcoin Conference, I went to the Texas one, and there was one in San Jose, and it always seems like there's a civil war going on. There are those that want to, you know, nuzzle up to the governments and say, hey, you got nothing to worry about. We'll make sure it's all fencing required, you know, compliant, and you get a retina scan, and you get your palm print to get your transfer of Bitcoin into Federal Reserve notes or Federal Reserve notes into Bitcoin. We're all compliant with demand. The government gets a C, and it's all good, and don't worry about it, and we'll be good neighbors. And I'm going, yay. You know, like, that's what I wanted. I'm going, no, this is not, that's not what I would hope Bitcoin would be. Safecoin provides the opportunity to where they can't. So now when the government agents get up there, and we have a law. In fact, they had a congressman. Hold, Donna, put up the congressman's letter in the file of this. It was a congressman had a bill that would have the United States Congress define in law Bitcoin as a currency as opposed to it being property for IRS purposes. Now, the reason that that was important, I understood that that gave the SEC jurisdiction, Security Exchange Commission, over Bitcoin. They wanted to have to see it as cash, to see it as something that they could control. It's money laundering, legal tender law, all these controls that they want to put on something like Bitcoin. What makes Safecoin different is it's, you know, as much as Bitcoin is unregulatable, you know, it's still open source. You can see it and kind of go. Safecoin, on the other hand, is not only is it unregulatable, you can't even see it to regulate. How far off am I?
That's right. There's a really critical issue here as well, and it's, why do we have regulators? It's to try and stop crime. It's to try and stop criminality.
No, that's what they say.
Yeah, that's supposed to be. And a lot of that crime and criminality happens in the regulators themselves and the large financial institutions.
To the tune of trillions and trillions of dollars. They have no credibility. David, I'm telling you, man, you don't got to convince me or this audience. They use whatever they can to get. That's why I'm so. I'd want to hack this last month's edition. We just published the magazine this last Friday, and we included a lot on MadeSafe in there. And the reason is because I can see that if they can regulate it, they will to their advantage and not the individual and certainly not the people and not the freedom. It's to them. I'm looking for the hacks on freedom. I'm looking for the ability to have something that is unregulatable. It's not even seen by them. For them, if they can, they are. Ernie, do you think, yes, can they? Well, if they can, they are. But there's some mental hurdle they got to get over. Oh, we wouldn't do that. That would be wrong. No, man is coming and attacking. That's what MadeSafe and SafeCoin represents to me. And I want to make sure that that's clear to the people. This is a mechanism by which I hope, and correct me if I'm wrong, David, that they can't even see it to even want to make a law to pass to regulate it. It's not there for them to get a hold of.
That's exactly correct. And the other side of that coin is really SafeCoin exists on the MadeSafe network. And as you alluded to earlier on, the MadeSafe network is perfect for whistleblowers. It's perfect for if something's wrong and you need to speak to someone else, it's completely private, anonymous, and all the rest of it. So that means we can regulate ourselves. So if we go back to cash-based society, which I think is a better system, and if the cash is very easy to move across the world, then it's superb. It answers the problems of physical cash and having to post it or something. But we're on the MadeSafe network here, or the Safe network. If there's crime in a street or whatever, you see crime or someone's loaning money and you've got loan sharks about, we're all whistleblowers. If there's actually crime and people being threatened and held under duress and whatnot, we're on the network that we can actually report to the police if we want. Look, here's a crime here.
Or we report on the police.
Ourselves. Yeah, even do that too. And this is part of the beauty of the whole thing. It all goes together. So what we are saying is there's no need to regulate this. There's no need to try and regulate cash. If we want to stop crime, we can stop crime. We've now got a worldwide network where it's things like Rwanda happens again or whatever. We'll all know about it. We'll know about it straight away. We'll not be listening to some namby-pamby description of what is genocide and what's not genocide. We'll know what's going on. And we, the people, can take action in that. So the MadeSafe network is the other critical part of this. I think if it was just anonymous money on its own, yeah, there's going to be debates and whatnot, but it's not anonymous money on its own. It's anonymous money on the people's network, and the people are more than capable of regulating their own selves and protecting themselves and protecting each other. And this is where we close the circle. And this is a tremendous argument for those who would like to just regulate everything. It's say, reduce the amount of rules that you're following. Make the core algorithm correct. We've got a tax system here where it went from 900 pages, the tax law, up to 1,300 pages. You don't even need to be very clever to find a loophole through there. So our approach is, look, reduce all this. Just reduce it all down to hard, fast facts and maths and get the core algorithm right, and we'll all live a much better life, and we won't have this wasted money on wasted agencies.
Oh, they want one world government? Fine. I give you one world revolution, okay? Yeah. The more they escalate up, the more you have things like MadeSafe coming out. But I got another question before we close. Is this a language barrier that is out there, or the Chinese websites can run MadeSafe and without a hitch?
Yeah, the MadeSafe goes, it's internet sans frontier. There's no borders. There's no borders in the digital world. There's no borders in MadeSafe, and it recognizes no firewall. It goes through everything. There's no way of stopping this.
Ah, Oh, this is okay. So this is hopefully this has sparked the imagination, people. This is like there's signposts, there's mile markers throughout history. This is one of those. And the day that I'm doing this, I'm so excited. They're launching five more CubeSats. They're having a first nine Merlin rocket engines on Falcon 9 is going to come and land the first stage. That's going to make the cost of putting up communication satellites down to like freaking nothing. You're going to have an enormous ability to be able to transfer and share information about anything, about anyone, and we get the peer review. We decide, not some official talking head of a licensed government kind of said stoolie. And I'm going, no, we determine the future of news reporting, and we've known this for Freedom's Phoenix, is going to be the credibility of the source, of the individuals. Made Safe provides an even playing field for that. Yeah, I mean, it's getting a lot better and better and better, and all of a sudden, boom shakalaka, I trump you with Big Giant the Worldwide, and Mr. Neo here is going to hack the entire Matrix. And I'm going, yeah, baby, that's what I'm talking about, and I want to help. Now, the thing is that this launches April 22nd. Now, we have this show. All the links are up there for where you can go, download, get, do. What the instructions are all there. I wanted to make sure, what do you need to say to the people that they need to know for the launch of this on what do they got to come to the table? They're going to sit in front of their computer, make sure you brought with you what information to be able to start the process for Made Safe launch on April 22nd, 2014. Mr. David Irvine, give us what we need to know.
It's very simple. A Bitcoin address will be made available, and you send Bitcoins to that, and you'll receive Made Safe coin back. It's all automated. It's run by the Master Protocol guys. Completely automatic. It's just like buying anything with Bitcoin. Send Bitcoin to that address, and you'll get the correct amount of Made Safe coin back. As soon as the network's up and running, that transfers over to SafeCoin. During that time of buying the Made Safe coin to SafeCoin, it's tradable. It'll be tradable on the master decentralized exchanges that the Master Protocol guys are making available. So it's as simple as safecoin.io, click buy now, you get an address, send Bitcoin to that address, Made Safe coin sent back. Completely automatic.
Okay, Bitcoin IO. I'm on there, and it has the countdown, and it says 8 days for me, but we're going to go in early because, Western United States. Okay. So the thing is that I just go there, follow the instructions, and boom, I'm in. Later, they're going to take this, and that's when I'm going to be able to download the actual, what are you calling it? Made Safe, the, code, the protocol, the package. I mean, what are you calling it? What am I downloading?
It's a platform, and that platform will have lots of different applications on it. So you'll be able to download a range of applications. Each of them will put that platform onto your computer.
And so there's going to be
initially a simple application.
There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be making applications around this and so on. Is there some way that it's peer-reviewed, or you're given a seal of approval, or that one's okay or not, or you can download this application for that? I mean, how do we know which ones to add on that we want to use on our phones or our computers?
Yeah, that's part of what we're doing. We're actually working with Coda, which is decentralized applications business. So Coda's a not-for-profit, and most of the decentralized apps are now joining Coda. And what we're looking to do is there'll be a Coda seal of approval on various applications, and those are applications that have been tested by us and people like us to make sure that the applications do what they say they do.
Okay, and one last thing before you go. Your foundation. We have the Made Safe Foundation, Freedom for a Better World. How does that integrate with this, and why have this, and what role does it play?
The Made Safe Foundation was something that I started a few years ago. Basically, I took the shares that I had of Made Safe, which was 80% of the business. 30% was given to the staff as a staff block. They can make dividends out of that. All staff get paid the same. And the other 50% of the business, I started a foundation. And the reason for the foundation was education and innovation. And that was started to fund innovation throughout the world and hopefully create something that scales and can be copied by others. So So far, it started the first Fab Lab in Scotland. We host the Chernobyl kids every year when they come to Scotland, which is a great honour. So the foundation is really us trying to say to the world, this is how to run a company. Make sure a significant part, if not all of your business, is sharing a vision and sharing it with as many people as possible. That's why I started the foundation.
You are a threat to everything unholy. You know what I mean? There's other times, having been a political activist and looking for whatever help I can give to advancing individual freedom, is that I have done everything I could, my wife and I, and a lot of our efforts that we have in our magazine and radio show and the newspaper and the site and funding center and the marketplace. I mean, everything that we do has been to empower and take away a lot of the hurdles of the individual. And in one swoop, you've been able to empower the individual on equal par with any bureaucrat, any elected official, any king, any president. This makes you dangerous. This makes the whole concept dangerous. What I see, though, is that it's done in such a way, and they underestimate you right up until they start to overestimate you. And you've been underestimated to the point where now they're going to start overestimating, and they're like, ah, man, we got to pass us a law or something. So I can see that, the foundation that you create, all this, it puts you on, just the good person that you are, and the focus that you have is that it's the people versus they, them, those. It's just us versus whom? Who are we against? Those that won't let us just be left alone. So I want to help, and I want to be part of this. I'm going to be out of the country, but I'm going to push a button and smartphone and get access to some kind of in the jungle of whatever, and I'm going to find me, and I'm going to, boom, do my Bitcoin thing. I'm in. So then we got the hardware that we have to mine it. Am I doing better by getting these big, giant cloud hashing kind of, cloud server mining of whatever data, or I can just do it from my laptop? Am I benefiting by having more processing power? What kind of hardware should I get to be able to maximize my participation?
Common hardware, Ernest. We've designed it that in such a way that as many people as possible is going to benefit. So big, huge, fast machines aren't going to be all that important. The data will be put across all machines that are on the network, even the poorest, smallest machine. So more machines, if you've got more machines, that's great because you benefit there. But it's been designed in such a way that even the poorest person in rural Africa will be able to farm at the same rate as we do if they leave the machine on the network and it's of reasonable quality. So you can have more machines, I think, but huge, powerful machines aren't really that important. It's just lots of them.
Okay, so let's go ahead and wrap this up with your experience in New York. You get there, the media star. I heard you had a retweet of a press release of 30, 40,000 retweets. How the heck did that happen?
No idea. It's New York took us completely by surprise. We've known for a long time that we've got something pretty special, and it makes us probably quite complacent and quiet and relaxed about it. But The New York conference completely took us sideways. The response to the talk, the amount of media attention that we started receiving and still are receiving is crazy.
There was never a doubt in my mind. seriously, because this from the very beginning, the first interview that we did, I'm going, is this what I think it is? And I needed to get confirmation from people that are more tech savvy than me. Yes. If this is implemented the way that as it's described and what you made available to them and all their computer geekdom, I'm going, okay, here we go. So I've been trying to explain the power of this distributed information and money and the concept of this to my family members and friends and people that, you know, and my brother-in-law is a good example, Mr. Bond Raider Moody's kind of thing. So you can imagine the interesting conversations we have. By the time I got back and I sent him some stuff and showed him, I got it, you know, I visited with my nephews and my brother and sister-in-law and stayed there for a few extra days, you know, before and a little bit after the New York Bitcoin Conference. When I came back, I get an email from him. I need some more information on this. Yes, of course you do. And I tell you, one of the things was, it was the Forbes article. You know, Forbes does this. That right there gave, because that was a very, they were like, cast you in a very good light. And I thought that was interesting. Is it, did she just like your accent or something? I mean, what happened there?
Oh, we were talking for a couple of hours and, she took an awful lot of information. I think she's actually Cash Hill. I think she's going to maybe do something in the Forbes magazine. And we're also speaking to the Wall Street Journal. So those guys are pretty interested as well. So it's now starting to slowly get out. And it's pretty cool because a lot of people say, I've never heard of Madesafe and who are these guys? And it's quite good to be that guy that's just appearing.
Do you feel threat? I mean, is there some agencies that are kind of circling like vultures around the outside of the crowd and kind of, you know, like, well, what can we do to stop or just, we just got to get over it and he's going to do it and we got to change the entire planet of how the people are ruled because it made safe or they're just going to give up? Is that what they're going to do?
I think there's no way for this to be stopped at all. I can't see possibly the harm to me might trip up very slightly, but not that much. It's not really stoppable. I think all these agencies, the best thing they could do is probably just accept that this is happening and try and work out how that they help in a better world than what we have today.
Oh, no. We got to build more bombs and missiles and, you know, and freaking space base ion cannon, moon base alpha laser zapping. I mean, you know, these guys, they're messed up in the head. You know, there's no logic and reason with these people. So but I think you've trumped them and I want to help. And thanks for spending this extra time. We went longer than I anticipated, but I'm glad we had this conversation without commercial interruption that we could just get out, you know, what you're doing, when it's happening, April 22nd, you go to the website safecoin.io. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And it's all self-explanatory there. You can go ahead and make your purchase. One Bitcoin gets you 17,000 Safecoins. If Safecoin is the anonymous contributing and receiving of value like Bitcoin as a financial instrument, but it's anonymous, if that is the anonymous currency that I've been, if that is it, then that is it. This is what I've been waiting on. And how I was directed this Madesafe is because I'm going, look, seriously, there is not a distributed kind of encrypted, they don't get the heck. Cause I remember doing bulletin boards back in the early 90s where you uploaded data, downloaded, and it could be encrypted. And kind of going, where's that? Well, you need to talk to the Madesafe guy. The who? I did. I'm impressed, but we're happy. So I'm just going, any final message you want to give to the people for us, David, and the excitement? Are you guys excited? I mean, are you guys, you know, like popping champagne every day?
No, I went back to the office and people said, hi, do you want a coffee?
I am so glad that you're there. I'm happy for you and your whole crew. And hopefully everybody just, you know, relaxes and enjoys it and, you know, is just having a good time with this because, you know, you deserve it, you know. And I'm just hoping that you guys are enjoying this as much as I am and that we get to, you know, just participate in this launch. And we'll go ahead and if, you know, after you do it, I'm hoping that you'll have time for us and you can still remember our names and so on. And you'll come back on and we'll talk, give it a month or so after launch and we'll do another show and see how it's going. How's that, David?
Fantastic. Honored to hear me.
This has been exciting for me on a special day. You know, we're getting a SpaceX launch with the CubeSats that they're, you know, just demonstrates the ability for them to go off grid. It demonstrates the ability for human beings to do it without government. It's a private company. We demonstrate the ability for us to be our own masters, for us to share, and for us to just be good because Given the opportunity, we will be. And who's given us that opportunity? David Irvine, friends, madesafe.net. Ooh, the future's so bright.